Alrighty, gang. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coaching Skills Forum. This is where we have coaches from all over the world gathering to explore and discover and reveal a single coaching skill and quality of our coaching. And the conversations are, in my belief, the conversations are like nothing else that's out there, and I'm very proud of these calls and the content that is in them, and I think that they're some of the most exciting and powerful coaching developing calls that are out there. And that's really in great deal to you all, the esteemed, brilliant body of coaches that are on this call, sharing your wisdom, sharing your thoughts and insights. That's what makes these calls so amazing. So I'm very excited even for today's topic, because today's topic is one that I'm going to guess we're all familiar with. It's a very common aspect of our coaching, but I think it's one that is easy to just kind of look at the surface of it. And really, you know, the more that we dig into these coaching skills and qualities, the more we can discover a greater range and application in our own power. So before we launch into all of that, I do want to cover some ground info and things like that. We have a bunch of coaches on this call, so let's just be respectful of jumping over each other. And if there is noise going on in the background, I understand things happen sometimes. You have to do that. Very simply, just mute yourself by pressing *6. That way it's not disturbing or interrupting the call. However, if it's at all possible, keep your lines open, or if you really want to jump in and share, press *6 to unmute, because this call is all about group interaction and you sharing your thoughts, your opinions, your questions, your insights, all of that. So please, keep your lines open and be ready to jump in and play. These calls are worth credits for those who are needing credits for recertification. It has been approved by the ICF for a single CCEU, Continuing Coach Education Unit. And it depends on how you're getting this, how you're listening to this call. If you're on the call live, as this amazing group is, then you would be able to receive a core competency credit. And if you're listening to a recording, then the ICF says that automatically means that you will get a resource learning self-study credit. So you're going to get a credit regardless, but pay attention to which credits you need more of. And if you need more core competency credits, get on these calls live. This is where the action is. And, of course, at the very least, you can listen to the recordings, and you can listen to all the archived past recordings. We actually have over 100 of these calls available that we've been doing. I've been doing these calls now for, holy smokes, like, what, 8 years? 9 years? Ay, ay, ay. So, and they're all fantastic. So, more information can be found at coachingskillsforum.com. And actually, that's where you will get your credit. So on this call, a password will appear. We're not going to do the whole beginning and end thing. It's really about we want you listening and engaging and being involved on these calls. So the password will show up somewhere in the middle of these calls. And once you get that password, then you can, well, wait until the end of the call, and then go visit coachingskillsforum.com, where you will then be able to make a purchase for your credit. These calls are completely free to enjoy and learn and grow, but if you want credits, then you just need to pay for it. You can either purchase a single credit, or you can purchase a 6-month package, in which case you pay once, and then for 6 months, you've got open field any credits you want, live, recorded, whatever it is. Request them, you got them. Of course, you have to listen to the recordings or be on the calls and go through the protocol. You also need to provide that password that tells me, aha, you were listening or engaged or part of this call. So that's important too. And also be sure to let me know the specific date and skill, because we've done this for so many years, we're cycling through these conversations and this list again and again. So there are actually three or four saboteur conversations that we've had in the past that might even be fun to go and listen to. To see what's different as well. Well, that said, since we are already on, since I think I've covered everything here, let's launch into our conversation, because today we're talking about the saboteur, and you know, it's got many names, the critic, the gremlin, all that stuff, so it really could show up anywhere on the alphabet. It just, saboteur happened to hit me, and so I kept it there. So I'm going to start off with a basic definition, and we're going to take it from there and see what we get to discover. So the basic definition that I came across is the saboteur is a concept that embodies a group of thought processes and feelings that maintain the status quo in our lives. Often operating as a structure that would seem to protect us, it is in fact keeps us from moving forward and getting what we truly want to in life. Like our mind, the saboteur will always be with us. It is neither good nor bad. It just is. The saboteur loses its power over us when we can identify it for what it is, notice our options in the situation, and then consciously choose what it is we do really want at that time. That's it. In a nutshell, that's the saboteur. Actually, the saboteur in a nutshell is,
Help! I'm a saboteur and I'm in a nutshell!
But anyway. But when we talk about saboteur, I'm going to open this up to the floor here. When we talk about saboteur, critic, gremlin, and what other names there are, what do you come up with? What do you think about when we're talking about this in coaching? Anyone?
Being that Spritz here, how are you?
Good.
It seems to me that sometimes the saboteur is not even our own voice, in that often it's the replayed voice of someone else who has been a critic or a bully or something else in the past around a particular issue. So I think we need to help people to work through both where they're sabotaging themselves, but also sort of replaying old recordings that they're carrying around with them, I guess.
Yeah, it may not be necessarily our own minds and our own voice talking, but you're right, it could be people in our past or other people that we've engaged with, or things that just keep old tapes and programs and experiences that keep replaying in our heads. Yeah. Great, what else? Actually, it reminds me of a conversation I had a while back about when I was introducing the saboteur concept to a client, and she said, yeah, it's just like my dad. I got this from my dad, and my saboteur is my dad. And I went, well, now, wait a minute. It's not the same. It's just that they, you know, share that similar language in some of the things that it says, but it's not to go around saying, Dad, shut up. You're yelling in my ear. It's not the same person, but it can have come from things that our parents have said or that people in our past have said to us that stuck. What else? What comes to mind when we think of saboteur in coaching?
Hi, I'm Katie.
Katie, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I work with women who struggle with perfectionism, and I think the saboteur is a big part of, you know, of perfectionism, that need and desire to be perfect and not fail. And often we, you know, are holding ourselves back. I had a client recently who was talking about, you know, being afraid to try something new because of the fear of not being able to get it right the first time.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, kind of resonates with me in thinking of how this, you know, how it shows up is sometimes there's that perfectionist tendency, that fear involved. Sometimes it's perception, wanting to be able to look a certain way on the outside and not to be seen as struggling.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Yeah, perfectionism, major saboteur and stuff that's going on there. Well, really for all of us, there's some form of it going on at some point. What else? What comes to mind?
This is Philippa. I think of the saboteur as what's happening to us is we're veering from a certain state of reality into a state of fiction. The saboteur is really where we get very creative with our fiction and the stories we buy into and tell ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of made-up stuff, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. And as they say, you know, a lot of it's based in fear, which is false evidence appearing real.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Great. So also, if I'm hearing that, that's also really suggesting that when the saboteur is showing up, there's probably a fear going on. Would that be safe to assume?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something stressful at least. It may not necessarily manifest fully as fear, but it's manifesting as some kind of stress.
Yeah, so there's some degree of fear. It may not be full, all-out life or death, but that there's probably even like small, soft, subtle fears, things that we're struggling with, you know, and like somebody said, looking bad or looking good or doing it wrong. Great, what else?
I've noticed as people get closer to making a shift, stepping into a change, that's when the saboteurs get the loudest.
Oh.
And if you can see that, sometimes it's helpful, and sometimes they're just too loud.
Yeah. Yeah. It actually reminds me, I just had a client over the weekend who we started talking about saboteur. We started looking at her own personal power, and then suddenly over the weekend, I got this huge barrage of emails that were all about, you know, I'm not this, and I'm not that, and I'm stuck here, and I'm frustrated, and I'm scared, and blah, blah, blah. And it was like all this old programming came flying in, like with a giant, you know, except it wasn't the cavalry coming. It was, you know... and it was amazing, and I think there probably was something to that of the client starting to get closer and that saboteur getting freaked out and starting to scream louder.
I think there's an element of, like a number of other things, the saboteur will fill the empty space in that if there's a lack of positive confidence or positive thoughts or aspirations or beliefs or just a preparedness to try or whatever, the lack of a whole lot of things creates space.
Yeah.
And the saboteur easily fills that space. So if you can, I'm thinking that if you can focus on filling some of that space with some of those other affirmations, then that's part of the way forward.
Yeah, beautiful. So there's it's a filling of space. A lot of it is unknown information or assumptions or whatever it is, and we don't have clear information. And so we start making up stuff, and usually to protect ourselves. And yet, as I hear you talking, is that if we can start filling the space with positivity, with affirmation, with encouragement, with celebration, and acknowledgement and all of that stuff, that helps to fill in the space with something else.
Yeah, or knowledge or training or research or the other things that the people can do to actually, you know, rather than focusing on the saboteurs themselves, focus on the things that would be required to move forward, improve knowledge or training, which might give additional confidence, etc.
Yeah, definitely, because certainly information can be a huge help. That helps to alleviate a lot of our fears is the more information we have. Oh, I didn't know it would be this easy. Oh, okay. Well, in that case, then no problem.
Yeah, this is Ray.
Yeah, Ray.
You know, I think there's something in just acknowledging that the saboteur is a choice. you know, that there's, I think that, I mean, look, I'm only in my own head, and I can only imagine what is in my client's head, but I, there's like a default setting that the saboteur occupies, but, and I just think bringing awareness that groove of thinking is actually a choice can create a pretty powerful shift.
Yeah.
Just in itself.
You know, it's funny, you you said something about like the programming and default, and it makes me think of, like, you know, when we get a new phone, it's got all its basic programming, or any new electronic thing, and then we go through and we modify it to so it functions the way we want it to, and these are shortcuts, and these are all these things. But then there are times when it's like something weird happens, and it goes back to the basic program. It's like, no, that's not what I wanted. And but yet, that's always there. We have that baseline, and we have that basic programming that can instantly reboot back to the beginning if we're not careful. That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, let's even push this conversation even a little bit deeper. What makes working with the saboteur and all this saboteur conversation, what makes this important? I mean, why do we even bother with this saboteur? Just want to get the coach in and get the results and get all the jazz and all that stuff. Now I got to do all this, you know, saboteur crap. What's that?
Can I jump in again? This is Ray.
You know what? You're on a roll. Go for it.
All right. I'm on a roll. I think what's important about it is just, you know, it's like as I'm listening to what some of the earlier folks shared a little earlier, is that, you know, there's so many cultural forces and family and community forces that keep us small. And they're subtle. They're everything from subtle to very, very clear messages. So working with the saboteur is rewiring, re-recording those messages that we get from everywhere that limit us and that keep us in our boxes.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it that it is. It's an old recording. It's an old tape that we will hear again and again, and it's on a loop. And yet we get to, I think somebody else even mentioned that we get to, it's a choice, we get to reprogram, we get to re-record what we want to listen to. Thank you.
Sure.
What else? Anybody else? What makes this important?
This is Leslie.
Yeah, Leslie.
Hi. You know, for me, even just today, in fact, I was asking my coach, we were dealing with this because I've got some big goals I'm working on, but it's like something seems to be holding me back. And so that was where we went, was to take a look at maybe some old messages, to let that inner voice, the inner thought. And then by coaching through that, I feel like I've been freed up to be able to make some headway on that dream that I've got. So I think particularly the big dream, to me it's not at all uncommon that there's going to be some element perhaps of saboteur at play that may hold us back from really going after the big way we want to.
Mm. Yeah. Good. Anybody else? What makes this important?
Well, it is quite often an obstacle that keeps the client living the life that they really want. You know, being who they know it, they feel held down, and they want more, and yet they do have this obstacle.
Yeah, this is, you know, if only I could just figure this out, or be better, or just make this first step or whatever it is, but it's usually the thing that's kind of getting in the way and stopping us.
What occurs to me, I guess, is that also this is not a one-time thing. If you work with someone who...
Yeah, I thought we'd just say, hey, it's your saboteur. Okay, good, we're done.
Yeah, because you mentioned culture before and just said a whole lot of bells ringing in my head around culture, gender, all those sorts of things. Men can't do that or whatever. And you know, some cultures especially very strong on certain things. So
yeah.
What that said to me is that while you can coach someone through that in a conversation or series of conversations, you actually need to help them also to be able to cope with that on an ongoing basis, because it's going to keep coming up.
Yeah.
And how they cope ongoing is going to keep them moving, because you're not going to be there all the time or forever.
Definitely, yeah. And I think that may be a... I think even seasoned coaches get caught off guard by that. You know, there's sort of an underground programming or conversation that I have of, hey, we just talked about this last week. How come they're going back to this old thing? Oh, that's right. You know, it's human nature to, it's an ongoing conversation, constantly.
Hey, Ben, it's Kari.
Kari!
I call that, if my coaching practice weren't called Inner Peace Coaching, it would be called How to Get Out of Your Own Way.
Yeah.
Coaching, because it is a constant, you know, how are you? And it can be a very unconscious, your saboteur, your gremlin, your monkey mind, old beliefs, old programming, cultural stuff that you aren't even aware. But it is a constant, what, you know, may be holding me back, what's stopping me, what's making it harder than perhaps it needs to be.
Well, it's interesting, and I'm cautious to say this because I don't want to offend anybody, because it's actually meant with great respect. But it sounds to me almost like these 12-step programs that we have. It's an ongoing battle. It's an ongoing conversation with alcoholism or overeating or drugs or whatever it is. And there's something similar, like, you know, this is not just something that gets fixed simply and easily. This is an ongoing issue that we have to address constantly. We'll get better. We'll get stronger.
Stop.
But it's always going to be there.
No. No.
No, that's right.
This is Arlen. I just want to say, I think that saboteur work is just some of the most important work that we do as coaches. And for me, it's about making the distinction between the core self, who the person truly, genuinely is, the naturally creative, resourceful, and whole, to use that language.
Sure.
And the stuff that we have borrowed and taken on. And it's so, just when I see my clients get that distinction and like keep working on it until they really feel who they truly are,
yeah,
you know, and all that brilliance that's in there, that's uncluttered and has flow and fulfillment and all that, mm-hmm. There's just no better cause for me in this world than that. Yeah. I think the work was so powerful for me in particular, that it's great to pass it on.
Well, you know, so I love that you bring up that angle. I mean, it is really, it probably is the critical thing that comes down to, we may coach on different things and our topics and agendas and issues, but it really comes down to there's some sort of saboteur action, either soft and subtle or really strong and running the show. But there is, it's kind of, that's what every coaching is about, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I love that you brought up about that naturally creative, resourceful, and whole, or other schools have different, you know, actually I'm curious, what other schools, for those who, you know, for your training, everybody, we all have this same basic training that regardless of the saboteurs and the things that are showing up, that we get to see and believe the client is different, that the client is whole, that they're a powerful being. I'm curious what terminologies or how you've learned it. Anybody else? Like, what's the opposite of the saboteur?
Hey, Ben, it's Kari again. My coach training is with Coach for Life, one of the certified coaching programs that has a spiritual kind of twist, and we call it your true self, your essential self. I call that your true yoga self, your wisdom mind.
Yeah. Great. What else? Anybody else? True self. Wisdom self.
This is Philippa, Essential Self.
Essential Self, yeah.
That comes from Martha Beck and her Finding Your North Star.
Oh, that crazy Martha. What is she
That
know?
Crazy Martha, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what else?
Your Authentic Self.
Authentic Self, yeah. It really feels like it's sort of two different worlds, like, you know, light and dark. It's like, well, there's this saboteur and what have you, or there's this authentic, empowered, true self. Am I right? Is it really that black and white?
It's Kari again. I'm not sure if it's so black and white, but it definitely has the shadow side, the saboteur, versus the light side, your true, authentic, essential self. So there's lots of shades of gray, but
yeah.
As far as the opposite of saboteur, you know, that would be your shadow side, then there's the light side.
Yeah. Well, and let me ask this, and let's go in this direction. So we've established it's critical. This is what's getting in a client's ways of discovering their true power. It's what they're really probably coming to us for. They're coming to us to fix a problem, but it's really to sort of see what is this that's really getting in the way or holding me back. What's the old program? And it's pretty important and critical to what we do as coaches. And yet, what gets in our way? What stops us from really doing powerful saboteur work? This is Ray.
Yeah.
You know, I think that one of the challenges is that when we wade into this territory, it can be much deeper than coaching can actually address. And it's something that I've run into time and again with clients that, you know, there's some tools that coaches can use to really help disarm the saboteur. But, you know, there's therapy for a lot of this. You know, so it's like I think that part of the challenge that I have often seen is that the coaching methodology isn't always the most powerful to really, really get to the bottom of the saboteur. Yeah, so we may have just our own limitations based on the client, that they actually, this is more than just your standard operating saboteur. This is actually something even deeper that really needs some specialized help.
And I've seen clients get that type of help, and I've seen those shifts.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, I mean, just to sort of play the devil's advocate here.
Yeah, thank you. What else? What gets in our way? What stops us from doing good saboteur work?
Our own saboteurs.
I was going to say, for anybody who has that thing in their voice that's now saying, well, I don't have anything good to offer. Guess what? Yeah. So our own saboteurs, and, you know, are there specific ones that jump up?
That perfectionist.
The perfectionist. Yep, that's possible.
This is Tiffany. We're supposed to kind of stretch our clients and make them feel uncomfortable, do uncomfortable things to help them achieve what they want to achieve.
Right.
But sometimes our saboteurs it's hard, it's uncomfortable for us to make them feel so uncomfortable to stretch to reach what it is that they want to reach.
Yeah. I don't like making people uncomfortable. That's horrible. I'm paying this guy, you know, all his money to make me feel horrible and uncomfortable. That's great. Thanks a lot. Yeah. So it can feel, it can be sometimes just scary territory. I think as somebody else brought up, you know, we're dealing with people's fears. We're dealing with people's old programming. And so that can sometimes be scary just in itself for us to jump in. Yeah.
I think also coaching, the way I was trained anyway, is is much more about looking forward at vision, planning, actions that you want to take to move forward, really not reinforcing old wiring, but trying to create new wiring by looking at new actions that you can take. So I think what was said before about you know, staying away from things that are therapy, I'd like to reiterate that, but also I think that's reinforced even further by the fact that a lot of times we are focusing on what can be done to move forward as opposed to what's holding you back.
Yeah, so that can be, what I hear from that is that we can get caught up in that saboteur conversation and then we start being stuck in that past or that old programming as opposed to moving forward and, okay, let's recognize this as an old program. What is the new program, or what do you want to create, or where are we going? That's really, coaching is about moving forward, right?
Yeah, I guess I was saying that maybe the fact that we do focus so much on moving forward, sometimes, and sometimes we may not be qualified to actually handle the other, but maybe that means we don't focus on something that does need to be brought out for an hearing.
Yeah. Great. What else? What else gets in our way?
Well, this is Ray. I just want to respond to what the last person just said. I do think that is the power of coaching, is just to sort of lay down those new cow paths.
Mm.
So that, you know, some ways, like, you know, in some ways, neutralizing the saboteur is, our involvement in that is just simply redirecting, as the gentleman was just saying, like, forward.
Yes.
You know, creating new possibilities for our clients to see in themselves.
Yeah.
I think that's what you don't get in therapy. You might go to resolve the saboteur to, you know, maybe those wounds, but you come to coaching because we're going to help you create a new mantra, so to speak, a new set of possibilities.
You know, it's interesting. The image that's coming up for me is like when a dam is blocking the water from flowing. And it's like we can either turn our attention to, you know, upstream and, well, wait a minute, what created the dam and how did this dam get here? And all, you know, look at all this debris and detritus and those crazy pesky beavers. Or we can look, you know, downstream and go, okay, we need to get water going. And how do we start to loosen up this dam and open it so that water can flow? I don't know if that's completely accurate. That just popped in my head. And they're both important, but, you know, they're also different directions and different energies. And it may be depending on what the client is needing, really. Anything else? What makes this important? Or, I'm sorry, what gets in our way? Actually, it's something that pops up, you know, looking at the definition where it said it's neither bad nor wrong, because I think part of what can get in our way is that we automatically believe that the saboteur is bad.
Yeah.
And that actually, not necessarily that stops us from doing saboteur work, but that it can be an obstacle and a difficulty for us really working effectively with our clients. You know, oh, here's that saboteur again, here's that gremlin and critic, bad, 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 shut it down, get away from it. Is that the case?
Some of the people we deal with, part of their issue actually could be that they just dive into things without thinking.
Yeah.
And so we talked before about black or white, and I think there is a grey line in the middle there where some constructive thinking about you know, going forward and what you need to be aware of, etc., is positive. When that grows too big, it's saboteur, but there's a middle ground, which is it's a positive sort of thinking in your own mind about consequences and those sorts of things, as long as you can do that positively, it's a good thing. So, yeah, I think that grey is important in the middle.
Yeah.
But saboteur, a very small saboteur in a very small font, and we probably call it something else, it's that sort of critique of what you're planning to do and just taking it, taking care to think it through, I guess.
Yeah. Beautiful. Anybody else? Saboteur, good, bad? Yeah, this is Ray. I will often ask my clients, what information does that have for you? Because just as this last gentleman was saying, it's like, you know, there could be, you know, that fear could be healthy.
Yeah.
And it could be pointing, it could be saying, wow, I'm not sure that that's actually right for me. Or
yeah.
That's a really big risk that I'm not ready to take yet. Or maybe I don't actually want to do that yet. I want to do something else. So I will often approach it with curiosity, another coaching tool.
Oh, that thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a rudimentary thing, like, oh, yeah, duh, curiosity. But it actually is. I so appreciate that you bring that up, that instead of just the automatic assumption that the saboteur is bad, that we actually get curious about the saboteur. Like, well, wait a minute, it's coming up for a reason. Let's take a look at it. But I think, as somebody said, not that we buy into the automatic, you know, yes, of course, you're right, I shouldn't, this is horrible, I'm a loser, I'm bad, blah, 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 but that there's information here that we might be able to use.
Yeah, hey Ben, it's Kari again. That's what I really try to do in my coaching, combining it with the yoga, is looking at what in yoga we call the monkey mind, which I kind of think of as the CEO of all this saboteur, gremlin, shadow side we're talking about, to kind of break that up. But ultimately, you know, all of that is to protect us.
Yeah.
Now, it's usually in a very childish or unevolved way in a society where we don't need to hunt and gather like many years ago. So its programming is very outdated, but exactly, ultimately, when it comes up with the, oh my God, you can't, it's trying to protect us. And I always am asking my clients what those feelings that come up or those thoughts that come up, what might they be here to teach us? What lesson might be there, you know, to be learned, to thank the monkey mind for doing that, to acknowledge it, and then how can we, you know, move past that, though, and not let it stop us either?
Yeah.
You want to make... You know, it's one of those, keep your enemies a little bit closer, not to see it as an enemy, but to see it as something, you know, that you need to nurture, not to the point where it takes over, but also if you, whatever you resist, as we know, will persist.
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem to be, or hasn't been for me personally or my clients, a good thing. So I try to tell people, think of it like a terrible two child.
Right.
That, you know, it needs to be acknowledged and it needs to find other things to do instead of, you know, destroying your antique table or something, but ultimately it's still cute and good.
Well, yeah, and like that metaphor, you know, once you just give it a little attention, yes, what did you want to tell me? Oh, nothing really. Okay. And then we're done. But if we keep ignoring it, then we have about 16 hours of mom,
it will only get louder.
Yeah. So, you know, and I love it. It was brought up about incorporating curiosity, and then there's also looking to, there's some wisdom here. There's listening to it, not the automatic buying in. Yes, you're right, of course. But more of listening, like, yeah, always, what do you have to tell me? Any other coaching skills or qualities that we can bring in to help us work powerfully with a saboteur?
Metaphor is always helpful.
Metaphors are always helpful. Yeah. Yeah, great. What else?
This is Tiffany. I think managing the client's expectations, especially early on with a newer client, to maybe give them a heads up that there are saboteurs out there, and and that way they can kind of not expect it, but they're not surprised, and they don't beat themselves up then in the next coaching call because, I brought awareness to the fact that they exist, and maybe they didn't consciously know that they existed, so just managing those expectations.
Well, I love that, in that it's really about building it into the plan, as opposed to, look, every time we talk, it's going to be miraculous and incredible, and your life will change, and blah, 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 blah. Like, actually, in my experience, there's a lot up and down, forward and back, and this is what will pop up somehow. So how do we handle it, and how do we work with it, and let's work it into the plan.
Yeah.
The other thing that pops up as far as, like, a coaching skill, what's interesting is the word acknowledgement comes up. I'm kind of curious as to what that makes you think of in regards to the saboteur. Anybody? All right, it doesn't make sense. I'm fine with that.
Well, hi, this is Jill.
Yes, Jill.
I had two thoughts on that. Now I just have to remember them.
Okay.
One is, like you were saying before, just, when you point out the saboteur, it kind of takes the air out of it sometimes. So just acknowledging that it exists, that, is that your saboteur? Or just knowing that it is your, even if it's your own saboteur, just kind of, bringing the presence to it takes the charge out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful.
And other thing is just, sometimes when you acknowledge that two-year-old that's clamoring for your attention, it, like you said before, it shifts. So just acknowledging that, yes, the saboteur isn't a horrible thing, and let's acknowledge it for what it is. It's information.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, there's something that, it's one of the early things that I learned that was not part of my coach training, but it was something that one of the trainers had said kind of in a side comment, and it really stuck with me. It was about normalizing. Which I always took as kind of a form of acknowledgement of really recognizing, well, of course you're freaking out. Well, it makes perfect sense that you're scared. Okay. Doesn't mean that, we do anything or not do something, but let's recognize it. Let's acknowledge it. Well, of course this is scary. You're doing something new. You're doing something that's out of your comfort zone.
Sometimes I think another technique, and it's quite a cliche really, but I think it's quite workable.
I love cliches.
Is asking the person, so what would they do if they weren't scared? What would they do if they knew they would be successful? That's why I said it's a cliche. I mean, you've all heard it, but in this particular scenario, I think that's quite powerful because you are in a form acknowledging that, there is some saboteur action at play, but you're just asking them to put it aside for a second and think without it.
Yeah. Beautiful. Anybody else? What other skills come in handy when we're working with saboteurs? Anybody?
This is Philippa. One of the things that I do very regularly with my clients is I have sort of created my own adaptive form of Byron Katie's The Work.
Yes.
I use that as a tool to help check what the stressful thought or belief or the saboteur's conversation is. Is this based in reality? Is this a fiction? And if so, can we find an alternative perspective that's equally effective and less stressful?
Yeah, It's a long, it's kind of similar to what was brought up earlier about that, like they're filling in gaps. This is a little more clear and specific structure and language about, wait, is this really true or is this something we're making up?
Mm-hmm.
And do we have proof? Or is it just something that we're imagining and thinking is true?
Well, and what I like about the structure of it is that I actually give my clients a, you know, what I call a guide, a facilitation guide to using the work. And I have them write out, work themselves through the steps in a written form the first few times. And you know, I work with a smart group of people, and it doesn't take them long to recognize that they can then just sort of go through those steps mentally, and then more often than not, they can go from here's the stressful thought to here's the turnaround, and you know, jump everything else in between.
Marvelous. Beautiful. Great. All right. Well, we before we get to the end of this call, I realize my saboteur is saying, "You idiot! You're doing this wrong. You're forgetting the one of the most important things, which is the password." I don't know. It's not, maybe not a saboteur. So we do need to have a password for today's call, and I'm curious if there's something that really is standing out from this group based on what we've talked about. What word really encapsulates what we've been talking about?
Monkey brain was good for me.
Monkey brain. Yeah. Anybody? Yeah, that is funny. Anybody else have any other ideas? Let's get a few.
Actually, technically it's monkey mind, but I like monkey brain.
Monkey brain.
Toddler.
Toddler.
Truth.
Truth.
Reality testing.
Reality testing. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. They're all good words, and what I love is that it kind of helps to sort of underline some of the rich nuggets of this conversation. It's interesting. The word that was really standing up for me was something somebody said early on about that we actually have a choice. Whether or not we listen to it, you know, if we're talking about a saboteur or even a critic, you know, the critic is spouting out their own opinions. I come from a theater background, and so there's all these critics of, well, this show was horrible, this was the best thing in the world, but yet we get to go and choose whether or not it's something that we like or that we want to see or do. And it's the same thing with a saboteur, something that comes in and just automatically sabotages and breaks down the machine, but yet we can choose whether or not we leave that to its course or that we go a different direction. So actually, I'm going to, as much as I love all the other ones, I think I'm going to stick with choice. That is our, because I'm going to choose. Haha, how about that? So choice is the password. So when the call is done, go to coachingskillsforum.com, and be sure to, that's where you'll make your purchase for your credits. You'll also get all the calendar for all the upcoming calls that are coming up, and also the past recordings in case there's anything you want to catch up on, including past conversations about saboteur. They're all very different, and so I highly recommend checking them out. You'll be amazed at what those calls cover. Before we launch off into something else, though, I want to poke into this conversation, because we always end these calls with looking at what the bigger picture is and the greater application, not just coaching, but more of like the worldview or cosmic or metaphysical or something. That really expands how we're seeing these coaching skills. And so I'm curious as to what the bigger picture of saboteur really is all about, and what the bigger conversation is. Anybody have any ideas beyond coaching? Anybody?
Yeah, this is Ray. I mean, Ray. I don't know if it's so beyond coaching or not, but I, you know, yeah, take your
your perspective on it. But I just, as I'm thinking about this, it's like, you know, the saboteur is someone else's agenda. It's like internalized someone else's agenda. And it's like, you know, when I have been doing a lot of thinking about shame, for instance, in something I've been writing lately. And that's only one element of a saboteur. But there's, it's like, it's our internalized tape about what the world tells us about what we're capable of.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, I love that you bring that up. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, what else? Yeah, somebody else's agenda. It's not ours. Our true agenda. It's our fear's agenda or somebody else's agenda. But, yeah. Actually, I'll go with that. I know I said what else, but this just hit me. You know, if we look at even just from a bigger picture about not even just in coaching, but how much of our world operates on someone else's agenda.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And how we interact with our society and our community and our country and our different countries and internationally, and it's all being dictated and motivated by other people's agendas rather than our true agenda. Yeah. Good. Somebody else. It sounded like somebody was going to say something, though, in that moment.
Well, I was just going to add, too, you know, how many people are living just so unconsciously about what is guiding them, what's controlling them, what's, you know, having the biggest impact in their life, and to make people just a little bit more aware and hopefully a little bit more conscious about how they do things and why they do things, I think can only be a good thing for humanity. And it's desperately needed in our times.
Well, it really is. You know, that's really what I think, for me, and I think for a lot of people, that's what makes the difference between a lot of this self-development work, is really that self-awareness. And when am I operating consciously and intentionally with purpose, and when am I in autopilot and just going through the motions,
mm-hmm.
and kind of this sort of empty vessel that's just following the program?
Yeah.
And it's actually very chilling and sobering as to how much of that automatic programming I'm really under, and we are all under.
Yes.
Yeah.
Given that, you know, sabotage is all around us, I guess it's important that we just be positive role models in our workplaces or communities around.
Yeah.
Not engaging in that, and that might sound self-evident, but we're all human beings too, so sometimes we're not perfect. So.
Well, it's interesting because I love it. I got two things from that right there was. We need to be aware that we've got our own saboteurs, our own limitations, our own automatic programming that comes up, and we may not even be aware. But at the same time, if we're doing our own work and we're putting our best selves out there and we're engaging with people looking for their best selves, then hopefully we can, even without coaching, we're reaching out to connect with their best selves and their positivity and their power, and that in itself may help make a difference. Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So thank you all so much. You know, as with every call that we have, invariably, I know my coaching is going to be influence in this area. I'm going to be much more aware of saboteurs and critics and gremlins and what have you and all that. Incidentally, I love to share this. My favorite name for this, I went through a period where I was trying to uncover all the different names, and my favorite one was He Who Runs the Show When I Am Not Present. And that really hits home for me. Yeah. And it encapsulates everything that we've been talking about being present, about being aware, that being focused, and being intentional in our lives. So, I look forward to all of you going out and really exploring saboteurs further in your own coaching and in your own lives and seeing what you discover. And we talk every fourth Wednesday afternoon, which is today, and every second Tuesday morning, which means our next conversation will be Tuesday, March 11th, at 10 o'clock a.m. Central or 11 o'clock Eastern. We're going to be talking about the exciting world of self-management. So, amazing tie-in, even though it's alphabetical, we're doing self-management right after Saboteur. So, we look forward to seeing you all there.
Bring your friends.
Bring more. It's all fun. Thank you all.
Thank you.
More information at CoachingSkillsForum.com. Okay. Bye-bye.